Ever wonder why bears hibernate or why the prairie chicken has spots? Curly Bear Wagner has answers in this week's Turtle Island Storyteller segment.
This is the story about the bear that stole the Chinook. The Chinook wins. In my country, the winds blow very hard up in the Rocky Mountains by Glacier National Park and onto the Blackfeet Nation. It may be 20, 30 below zero. And we look up and we see the kind of the blue arch in the mountains. And that's a meaning that the Chinook winds will come and warm everything up. And so this story goes back, way back in time, maybe 1,000 years. Our people were camped on the edge of the mountains in the foothills. And the chief told the people, he said, we have to go out and hunt and bring food in because a storm is approaching. And they went out and they couldn't find nothing. And so every morning they go out and every evening they go out and stay late. They come home empty-handed. And pretty soon the storm hit. It piled up snow quite deep. Maybe 4, 5, 6 inches of snow. Our people hardly could move. The children were crying because there was no food. It was hard to get wood to keep the lodges warm. But there was a little boy. He was an orphan. He lived all by himself. His lodge was tore up. His clothes were raggy. He had no friends except the four-legged ones and the winged ones. Amongst his company that would come and visit him was the owl in his family, the weasel, the coyote, and the magpie. He said, we've got to have a war council. We've got to do something about it. He said, the Chinook winds haven't came. They haven't came in a long time. So he told the magpie, he said, you have a lot of relatives. He said, go find your relatives and see if there's any gossip, what happened to the Chinook winds. So the magpie left, and the four-legged ones and the winged ones, they go out and bring food into this boy. And so they were shivering, they were cold, the rest of the village, they were hungry, they were without food. The little orphan boy said, well, we've got to help somehow. So it wasn't too long after the magpie came back. He said, yes, way up in the mountains, he said, there's a grizzly bear in a lodge, and he's captured the Chinook winds, and he has them in a big elk bag, and he's very nice and warm. So they said, well, we have to journey up into the mountains. And so they took off. The coyote busting trail for him, and the winged ones, the birds out gathering food for him. And so they'd rest and they all huddle around this poor little orphan boy to keep him warm. And they'd journey and they'd journey. The journey took them a long time. They had to plow through the deep snow, cold. And pretty soon they came to a clearing. And they said, that's where the bear is. And inside he has the Chinook winds, the magpie was saying. But they noticed that there was a hole inside this lodge. And so the owl sent his wife up and he said, peek in there to see where that bag is. The bear was back there. He was happy, making all kinds of good noises and just warm as can be and just grunting around and having a very relaxed. But he could hear anything that was coming because they have very sharp ears. And he heard this owl flying up. So he grabbed his fire stick and the owl peeked in. And he poked her in the eye with that stick, and she flew off crying. Just flew off into the woods crying. So he sent his son up there, and the owl was waiting for her. Going to peek in and see where that bag was. The bear was waiting again, poked his son. He went off crying. So he went up. Same thing happened to him. He got poked in the eye, and he went off crying. That's why owls have big eyes today. As they were setting, they had to come up with some plans. So the weasel is white, and the weasel is very clever. And he said, I'll go up there and peek. And so he came, and he rushed up the lodge like that, and he peeked in like that, and before the bear could do anything, he was already gone. And so he came back with the information. He said, yes, that bag is back in the corner, and a big grizzly bear is sitting right alongside of it. He said, well, we got to come up with a plan. So they took their medicine pipe, and they took and they start blowing smoke into that lodge, and that smoke was collecting. And this made the bear very tired. He began to doze off, and they peeked through that hole. Pretty soon, more smoke came in. Pretty soon, he was sound asleep, snoring. And so the coyote, he crept on inside the lodge, and he reached in, and with his teeth, he grabbed that bag, very slowly pulled the bag out, got it outside the lodge, and he started chewing at the stitches, and he couldn't get no headway. He was chewing and chewing, and it was so hard that he couldn't get through. Then he heard someone say, can I help, little brother? And he looked down, and he seen this little prairie chicken. He said, can I help you? He said, I can pick those stitches up. So the little prairie chicken got up on top of the bag, and he started picking those stitches out with his beak like that. And he got out a couple stitches, and he released the Chinook winds, and the Chinook winds begin to go and melt all the snow. And the little prairie chicken jumped back down onto the ground. And when he did, the mud splashed up on his wings. And that's why the prairie chickens have spots on their wings today. And the Chinook winds were released, melted all the snow, brought the game in. The people had food, and they had a wood source. And so that's the story of the bear that stole the Chinook. But the bears today, they were very angry. So when wintertime comes, they all hibernate. They all sleep through the winter, so they don't have to be cold in their nests. And so from that time on, the Chinook winds have always been with us. And the bears, we don't have to worry about them because they hibernate. So that's the story of the bears that stole the Chinook.
Curly Bear Wagner, a member of the Blackfeet Nation, lives in Browning, Montana. He is the founder of the Going to the Sun Foundation, whose mission is to promote knowledge of the Blackfeet, as well as to help provide jobs and economic stability to tribal members. Today, we explored the world of the Blackfeet, the Piegan, the Kainai, and the Siksika. We learned of the Blackfeet religion from Elder Cynthia Kipp and the unwelcome traveler in Indian country, diabetes. We listened to the music of the hand game and the Black Lodge singers, and we heard Curly Bear Wagner tell the story of the Chinook winds. We honor the Blackfeet Nation for their work of preserving and revitalizing their culture. We especially acknowledge the Piegan Institute, the Blackfeet's language immersion school, where English has become the student's second language. It has been a primary goal of the Circle of Tribal Advisors, the advisory group to the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, that native languages will once again flourish. Of the 300 original native languages in North America, only 175 exist today. 55 are spoken by 1 to 6 elders. When they die, their language could disappear. Yet, language revitalization and education efforts across our Turtle Island are demonstrating that our language and culture is persevering and will blossom through the 21st century. Thanks for joining us today on Wisdom of the Elders. I'm Arlie Neskahai. Hagona, till we meet again.
Wisdom of the Elders is an American Indian nonprofit organization with a mission of cultural preservation, education, and race reconciliation. We record and share the oral history and cultural arts of Indigenous elders, storytellers, historians, and song carriers. Wisdom of the Elders Radio is produced in Portland, Oregon, with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail National Park Service, National Endowment for the Humanities, and National Endowment for the Arts. Special thanks to our producers, Clark Salisbury, Brian Bull, Judy Bluehorse Skelton, and Milton Jamie Lee. Field producer, William Ward. Story editor and director, Larry Johnson. Music director, Nico Wind. Archivist, Paul Woodsong. Web team, Clark Salisbury and Rebecca Freeman. Executive producer, Rose Highbear. Special thanks to Jane Grover, Lionel Little Eagle Pin, Bruce Crespin, Don Addison, Carl Tiller, Phoebe Mills, and Rita Stacy. Thanks to our transcribers, Anna Kastner, Tina Hagedorn, Sandy Strom, and Cindy Phillips. Other volunteers, Bonnie Kalnick, Hila Hazen, Angelita Ray, Candace Goodman, and Barbara Norman.